Amen. So I just want to start off. I'm going to talk about just something in just a moment. But I want to start off with just quickly what our four main goals are in Vibe, which is just to help us remind ourselves what we're here for, what we're doing, what we're about, and what we want to achieve. And we took these four main goals from Exodus chapter 6, and it's where God shows up to Moses, and he comes to Moses and he said, it's time that my people that are in Egypt, if you remember the story, the Israelites are captive in Egypt for just ages and ages and ages. They're just being held slaves, and Pharaoh is working them into the ground. But God comes to Moses one day, and he says, you're going to go to the people, and you're going to tell them four things. Four things you're going to tell them. And these are the four things that we're believing as a church together, and I want to remind you this morning before we get into the Word, just because I think it's good to remind ourselves what we're about and what we want to achieve. And the first thing that God said to Moses was, tell the people that I'm going to save them, that the wait is over, I am going to save them. And I think that's our number one goal as a church, and that's our number one goal as Vibe, is that we want to see people saved. We want to see people come from that Egypt into the promised land. We want to see people come from slavery into freedom with Christ. And so that's our number one goal. And that was the number one thing that God said to Moses, tell my people I'm going to save them. I'm going to bring them out of Egypt. And then the second thing that God said, and it's the second thing that we believe, is that God wants to deliver people. Not only does he want to save you, but he wants to deliver you. And that simply means that God realized that after the Israelites spending so long in Egypt, they were going to have Egypt imprinted on them. They were going to live like slaves, think like slaves, eat like slaves. It was going to be so hard for them to go. Trials and ups and downs are going to come along the way. And that's where we need to be as a body, loving each other, encouraging each other. And so one of the main ways that we're going to do that in September time, hopefully, we're going to start connect groups, which is simply just getting together, talking about God, and just talking about life. Just encouraging each other, praying with each other, building each other up. And that's going to help us feel this deliverance or come through these issues and these problems. And then the third thing that God said to the people was, I want you to say to the people via Moses, was I want you to remind the people that they've been redeemed. And redeemed is a great word, and it's a word that we're going to believe for. Redeemed means to buy back, to buy something back that was already yours. And of course, this is what God was saying to Moses. Go and tell the people, remind them, not only do I want to save you, not only do I want to deliver you, help you through your issues, but I want to remind you that you were once mine. You were always mine. You just happened to go into slavery. Sin came along, it wrecked your life, it held you down. The world was trying to hold you back, but I want to remind you that you were formed in my image, that you're mine, that you're precious, that I love you, that I've never stopped loving you. And even when you were far from me, and even when you didn't know me, I still knew you. And so God is saying this morning, and I believe as a church, we need to remind people that you were always God's, that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and to remind you that he is redeeming you back to that and is going to set you on a course for great things for his glory. And then the fourth and final thing that God said to Moses, which we want to believe as a church, is that people are going to be fulfilled. Not only are we going to be saved, not only are we going to be delivered and helped to walk through that and help to walk through our issues and our trials and our problems, not only are we going to be redeemed, reminded that God has a great plan and purpose for our lives, but hopefully we're going to step into that plan and purpose for your life. And so the final thing that God told Moses to tell the people was, I'm going to make you my people. I'm going to make you my people. You're going to become mine, and I'm going to become yours. And we're going to work together. We're going to love together. We're going to walk together. We're going to do things together. And I believe that's what God's saying this morning. Not only do I want to save you, but I want to remind you of the purposes that you have in me, and I want to help you achieve them. So hopefully, if I joining a few teams or helping us out in the mission weeks or helping us out in any different things you see in church, that's how you're going to feel fulfillment in God. And ultimately, fulfillment is what we're all looking for, because fulfillment means and feels like, right, we've finally achieved something. We're finally going to do something. And that leads me on to what I want to talk about this morning and what I feel God has put in my heart. If we're going to achieve all of those things, we talked about faith last week. If we're going to achieve all of those things, not only are we going to need faith, but we're going to need courage. We're going to need courage to go for this. We're going to need courage to go for things. And I love the idea of, they're not the same word, but I love the idea of, if we will give courage to other people, if we will encourage other people, we'll build them up too. We'll build them up. Courage to others will encourage them. If we receive courage, if we see courage from others, it will encourage us. It will build us up. And God is saying this morning that we need people of courage, and we need to be people of courage in every single trial and every single thing that we face. We want to be bold. The B for in Vibe stands for boldness. We have to be people of boldness. Otherwise, we'll never achieve the things that God wants us to achieve. Let me give you a verse this morning. It says in Deuteronomy, way back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 says this. So be strong and courageous, exclamation mark. The Lord is saying to us this morning, be strong and courageous. No matter what you face, no matter what trials, no matter what temptations, no matter what things will come along, be strong and be courageous. But listen to what he says next, because he knows the next part's always going to come. Do not be afraid. Fears will come. And when he talked about Peter last week, he stepped out of the boat, he's looking at Jesus, he's following after Jesus, and then suddenly he recognizes and he realizes where he is. He's on water, it doesn't make sense, he sees the storm, he sees the waves, and immediately he starts to sink. Fear gets a hold of his life, and he starts to sink. God's saying this morning, be strong and courageous, but I know that fears are going to come along. But still be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, and do not panic. How often do we start panicking when we get into difficult situations? We panic. And I guess if we think of the swimming analogy, the more that you panic, the faster you sink. You're in quicksand, the more that you panic, the faster that you're sinking in that sand. The Lord's saying, do not panic. And that seems like, okay, that's great for you to say, God. But what is he saying next? This is what he says. I'm not finished yet. For the Lord your God will personally go with you. This is why you don't have to fear. This is why we don't have to panic. This is where our courage can be. This is where our strength can be. You do not have to fear. You do not have to worry. You do not have to panic. For the Lord your God, our God, if you know God this morning, your God will personally go not only with you, but it says ahead of you. How much better is that? Not only is he going to go with you, but he's going ahead of you. So he knows the things that are coming up. He knows the trials. He knows the struggles. He knows the things that you will face. And he's already prepared for them. What a wonderful Jesus that we have. What a wonderful God that we have. He's already ahead of us. And lastly, in that verse, if there's not already so many good things, but he finishes out with this. God says, he will neither fail you nor abandon you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. You know when you feel like you've been abandoned by everybody else, the Lord hasn't. Even if you feel it, even if it's every sign is telling you that he has not, because he cannot tell lies. He's perfect. He's good through and through. He's 100%. He has never, ever failed you, and he never, ever will. And here's the last part. He will never abandon you, nor has he abandoned you. There's no worse feeling. You remember, I don't know if you remember, like way back when you were younger in the shopping center and you lose your mom or dad and you're frantically looking for them. You just feel that abandonment. It's like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? God's saying this morning, you may feel it, but you'll never ever realize it because I will never ever abandon you. So no matter what lies or what ways that you feel, always remind yourself of this word. Be strong and courageous. For God is with you, not only with you, but ahead of you, and he will never fail you, and he will never abandon you. So that's a great place to be courageous. That's a great place to start from. That's a great platform to spring from. God's saying this morning, courage will lead to breakthrough. And I'm going to look at something this morning. I heard a really good story before. I look at a couple more verses. There's a guy who was in India. I think it was maybe the 50s or the 60s. His wife was really, really ill. But because India's so huge, something like a billion people in India, it's just amazing. It's a massive country, so many people. And there's this guy called Dashra. And I don't know if you saw it on the internet this week. I saw it. I think it's been going around for a long time. But it blew my mind. And I just thought it fits in perfect with courage. Here's this guy. His wife dies, I think, in the early 60s because she just simply couldn't get medical attention. She couldn't go down to the local chemist or the local pharmacy or the local doctors as easily as we can. So there was something like 70 kilometers between them and the nearest town. It was just crazy. They didn't have a car. All they could do was walk, or they may have had a horse. It was just very, very hard for them to get access to medical care. And so his wife simply dies because she couldn't get the attention she needed. Maybe she just couldn't get the medication fast enough, or she couldn't see a doctor quick enough. And that's really the only reason that she died. If she could have had the medication, she would have lived probably just as long as he did. But she died, and then Dashra got an outrageous, courageous plan. Right in front of them where they lived was this jet. It's just huge. You have to see the picture. I wish I'd have put it on the screen. You would have loved it. Just this unbelievable mountain just right behind their town. This huge mountain right behind their town. And the reason why it took so long to get to the nearest town is because you had to go the whole way right around the mountain or go through all the trails and the mountain treks to try to get to the other side where the town was. And so Dashra thought, what if I started to dig this mountain? What if I started to just chip away at this mountain? I wonder what could happen. Now, this guy is not a Christian. This guy does not know God. But there's something in all of us because we're made in his image. And we said before, whether you know it or not, you were always God's and he wants to redeem you. So Dasher may not have known it, but he was always God. And there was something of God inside of him. And he got this outrageous plan. I wonder if I started chipping away at this mountain, could I break through? This is exactly what he started to do. How long do you think it took him to get through this mountain? Let me give you an idea of the scale of this mountain. He dug through 360 feet of rock. 360 feet of rock. Guess how many years? 22 years, day and night. You know, all he had was a chisel and a hammer. That's it. A chisel and a hammer. The people thought he was mad. By the end of the 22 years, this is what he did. 360 foot long, right through the middle of the mountain, 25 feet deep and 30 foot wide. 30 foot wide. It's almost like this room just straight back 360 feet. It's just unbelievable. This guy, day and night. This is what people said as he did it. It says, though initially mocked for his efforts, this only served to strengthen his resolve. Though initially mocked for his efforts, this only served to strengthen his resolve. Because you know what was driving him forward? Was that my wife died because she couldn't get to a town fast enough for medical care. I'm not going to let anybody else die, especially anybody else in my family. And if I've got the power to do it, I am going to do it. So I do not care who laughs at me. I do not care who mocks me. I don't care who comes against me. In fact, all it's ever going to do is push me forward and I'll chisel even harder. This is what Dasher did. It said then after a while, it says, though most villagers taunted me. This is what he said to one of the reporters. He's now dead. This was back a few years ago before he died. He says, though most villagers taunted me at first, there were quite a few who lent me support later by giving me food and helping me buy my tools. Unbelievable. 22 years, 360 feet, the size of almost like this room, just 360 feet back. What a guy. Who just got courageous, who was just sick of seeing the way the world was at the time, who was just sick of seeing people die, who just didn't want to see everything the way it always was, and who dared to believe that maybe he could dig through this unbelievable mountain. That just blows my mind, and I thought it's a great story to share with you this morning. Just to let you know, here's a guy in India with nothing. No JCBs, no diggers, no shovels, no nothing. He just goes for it. How many more things have we got? It's time to get courageous this morning. I believe that's what the Lord is saying to us. Let's rise up. Let's get courageous. Let's get courageous in our faith, and let's start to believe that we could walk in water if we needed to, or we could see a breakthrough in a certain area if we needed to, because if God has called us to do something, let's follow after him courageously and in faith, because who knows what could happen. Noah did exactly the same thing. He built an ark when everybody else thought he was crazy. He saved the world. He saved the people that were good, and he saved the animals, and we're living in the benefit ever since. God is looking for people of crazy faith. Now, you think that story is crazy. I'm going to tell you about another story in the Bible just to show you that there's good stuff in the Bible too, as well as on Google or Facebook or whatever. This was in 1 Samuel 14. 1 Samuel 14, if you want to look it up. I'm going to read a few verses. I'm going to tell you the story as well. So the scene in this story is that there's Jonathan and his armor bearer, and Jonathan is Saul's son, and Saul is the king at the time. So there's two great enemies. There's good and there's bad. The Israelites are the good people, as we probably always imagine that. But the bad people at this time are the Philistines. And the Philistines, you might have heard that term before, is David and Goliath. When David came out, he swung the stone and he hit Goliath, and Goliath was a Philistine. So they've always been age-old enemies. And at this time, Israel are kind of on the run. The Philistines are really going places. And it says at this point in time, just to give you some context of the story, that there was only two swords left in the kingdom. Jonathan had one for the Israelites. There was only one sword left, like their weapons. They didn't have guns or bow and arrows or anything like that. They had swords and that was it. So Jonathan had one sword and Saul had the other. That's it. And then one day, Jonathan just gets this crazy idea. he just gets this crazy idea. He's just sitting around and he just thinks, what are we doing sitting here when we're God's people, when we could rise up? It says there was only a small group of them left. They're probably all licking their wounds, thinking, what is ever going to happen to us? Has God left us? Has God forsaken us? Remind ourselves of the verse we read at the start. He'll never abandon you. He'll never fail you. And Jonathan, I think, just got sick and tired of it. And he decided, I'm going to go out and look for some Philistines. And it says, there's just to give you the context of many that he found, it says in verse, just at the end of verse 2, with him were about 600 men. There's 600 men on the outskirts of the camp. And Jonathan and his armor bearer, and his armor bearer is just a person who says exactly what it sounds. He just carries his sword. That's all he does because, I don't know, Jonathan fancied having a guy to carry his sword and his weapons, so he had an armor bearer, and they would go anywhere. And so they go out, and they go looking for Philistines. It's almost like they go looking for trouble. But I think what they went looking for was like, let's go, and let's be the people of God that God has called us to be. There's people hiding in the fields. There's people working with the enemy now. People have left us. People have forsaken us. They've forsaken God. But Jonathan reminds himself and says, come on. God never fails. He is for us and not against us. It's time to get some courageous faith. It's time to see what God is going to do. And so he goes out and he finds these group of people. It says in verse 6, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised Philistines. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. This is it. Jonathan just goes out. He says to his armor bearer, let's go out and see if we can find some Philistines. They find some. It's like 600 to 1. Let's see what we can do today. Let's see what God is going to do for us. And then they come out with this outrageous plan, this crazy plan. The Philistines are on the mountaintop, and Jonathan and his mate are in the bottom. They're right at the bottom. And if you know anything about defense, or if you were in the army or anything like that, or even if you're not, you would realize that the best place to be is on the top, and the worst place to be is at the bottom, because it's so hard to get to the guys in the top, and the guys in the top can easily throw stones at you. They can come down on top of you, and the only way for you to get to the guys up there is probably crawl on your hands and knees. So Jonathan and his armor bearer are in a terrible position physically, but they turn around and Jonathan says to himself, and I think this is so important that we recognize this, it says, nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Nothing can hinder the Lord. Nothing. So it doesn't matter if you're in the worst position physically. Doesn't matter if it's just you and your mate. Doesn't matter if it's just you. If God is with you, who can be against us? If God is for you, who can be against us? All we really need to have is faith and be courageous to step out and to be bold. And so that's exactly what they did. Jonathan comes up with this crazy plan. He says, we're going to stand out in front of the guys, which was already the worst plan, because probably the only thing that they could do was to catch the enemy by surprise. That was probably the only thing that they had an advantage over, was surprise. Jonathan says, no, we're going to stand out in front of the guys. If they say to us, come up to us, we'll know God's for us. Makes no sense whatsoever. If they say, wait there, we'll come down to you, then we know that God's not in it today and we just got to move on quick. So what do you think happened? They stand out, and of course the Philistines look at them and go, what on earth are these guys doing here? They're probably wondering, that's Saul's son, Jonathan, he's crazy, what's he doing here? We've got a chance, we're going to take him out. And so the first thing they said to him was, hey, come on up here, we want to show you something. And we know exactly what they want to show him. They want to stick the sword in them because they want to kill Jonathan and his armor bearer. But Jonathan's sitting there thinking, wow, God must be for us. This is exactly what he wants us to do. It's just courageous, crazy faith. And sometimes it's not going to make sense, and sometimes it's going to look ridiculous. The boat just made no sense that Noah was making because there was no water near him. The mountain was just humongous, but this guy, Asherah, just had something crazy inside of him that says, maybe I could chisel right through it. And God this morning might be putting a crazy idea on your heart. And what I've seen a lot of the times is the more crazy it is, and the more that you're hearing from God, the more chance it is God, because that's when you're going to need faith to go for it. And so this morning, your courage might be just to stand for God in your workplace. Your courage this morning might be to just say, yeah, I was at church this weekend. That might be the start of your courage. Your courage might be to stand up to your family and just say, hey, you know what? I actually really enjoy church. I really love the Lord. I'd like to tell you about Jesus. Maybe that's your courage. Maybe your courage is just to get saved. Maybe your courage this morning is just to say, okay, I will be brave and I'm going to get saved. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody else thinks about me. I know I need Jesus in my heart. I've been feeling it for a long time. Maybe that's where your courage starts. But watch where your courage could go to. You could end up doing incredible things for God. It says that Jonathan and his armor bearer got to the top of that mountain. They crawled on their hands and knees. They just started killing the guys left, right, and center. The guys started getting confused in the enemy's camp. They ended up starting killing themselves because they're thinking, what on earth is going on here? This is crazy. And God comes and the whole place starts to shake. Something amazing takes place because these guys had faith, because these guys were courageous for God. And I'm encouraging us this morning that if we will go for God, if we will be brave, if we will be bold, if we'll be courageous in the things and the gifts that God has given for us, you will not believe the places that God is going to take you to. You know what the results of that were as Jonathan and his armor bearer went after the enemy? Number one, the first thing was the enemy was in disarray. They were just totally baffled. How on earth could this guy and this armor bearer turn up and face us? They were just totally baffled at this, and so much so that they're in disarray killing each other. God was in the camp and he's just disturbing the whole place. People, I love what it says at the end. We're going to read these couple of verses just at the end of it. It says in verse 20, then Saul and all his men assembled and went to the battle. They found the Philistines in total confusion, striking each other with the swords. Those Hebrews who had previously been within the Philistines and had gone up with them decided to leave the camp and join the Israelites again. What it's saying there is that the guys who had given up, the Israelites who had given up thinking, we're on the wrong side here, we're going to switch to the enemy's camp because that's the only way we're going to survive. Because of Jonathan and his armor bearer, because of their courageous faith, it actually influenced other people that were living with the enemy to come back. And I want to encourage you today, as you would step out and be courageous in your faith, and it might be just to say, yes, I'm a Christian. Or yes, I go to church. Or yes, I want to accept Jesus into my heart. That simple step of courageous faith, it might lead and influence other people in your family, other people in your relationships, other people around you that you work with to be brave and accept Jesus also. Other people that are living with the enemy will come back to God. Other people that are out with the enemy will come back and recognize the true God. This is what happened as Jonathan and his armor bearer just got up one day and said, we're not going to sit here and be persecuted any longer. It's time that we got up and started to move in faith, in courageous faith for God. It says in verse 22, when all the other Israelites who had hidden in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines were on the run, they joined the battle in hot pursuit. You know, there's going to be some people that it's just sometimes the battle's going to get too intense, or the odds are going to get so much against us, it looks like Jesus is failing or that we're going to fail, and people are going to run and hide. And so through courageous faith and maybe the faith and the courage that God puts in your heart, through you stepping out with that, it will cause other people to come from their hiding place and come and join you. Because some people need to be led. Some people need to see someone come along and just influence them and encourage them. God's saying this morning, what's the courageous, crazy idea that I've put in your heart that I need you to follow? Courage to follow God not only blesses you, but it impacts so many others. Joshua, because of him, you know what ended up happening? That 70-kilometer journey around the mountain, all those treacherous paths, you know what it ended up becoming once he dug the hole right through? 15 kilometers. 15 kilometers, 70 down to 15. What an impact one guy could have. Took 22 years, day and night, working at this thing, chipping away at this thing. And I want to encourage us this morning that we might have stepped out for God, and we might be being courageous for God, and we're thinking, God, why is it taking so long? Keep on going. Breakthrough will come. Keep on believing for our friends to get saved. Keep on inviting our friends and family to come in church. Someday they will. We have to believe that in faith, with courageous faith. Believe for that miracle to take place. Believe for that heartache to be resolved. Believe for that person to come back and be restored. Believe for that other person to be healed and set free. Whatever the issue is, whatever the problem is, Joshua had to dig for 22 years. 22 years. Us as Christians today, if we will keep praying, if we will keep battling, if we will stay persistent in our faith, great things will surely take place. And so this morning, as we come near an end, what's the dreams and the visions that God's put in your hearts? You know, I thought this morning as well, just to share, what's the thing in your workplace that God's encouraging you to do? You know, it's not always about becoming a full-time missionary or going out to Africa or this or that. What's the business idea that maybe God's put in your heart to step out and be bold on? You know, way back and during the recession time in 2008, the Lord put it in my heart to start my own business. And it was incredibly hard. And I thought, am I even doing the right thing? Is this sensible? Is this wise? I did it for 6 months and I'm still wondering, is it wise? And now years later, I can see the fruit of it. I can see the benefit of it. I can see how all the hard times led to better times. I can see that all the ups and the downs strengthened me for today. And that was a business thing. That wasn't stepping out and telling somebody about my faith. So I don't want us to undermine the things that God's calling us to do. Not only does he want us to step out and share our faith, but he wants us to flourish in our business. He wants us to flourish in our family. He wants us to flourish in every aspect of our lifestyle. It's not God saying, I only want you to do godly things. Everything should be done for the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. Do everything for his glory. Whether you're like these lads driving a lorry, do it for his glory. Whether you're working in the school, do it for his glory. Whether you're, I don't know, sitting like me in front of a computer, do it for his glory. Do it for his glory, and the Lord wants to bless you in that. And so what's the business idea that God's put in your heart, but you're afraid to go for it? Have courageous faith and really go for it. What is the dreams? What are the visions? What are the things that God has put inside of you? And just remind yourself, just as some of these other people, they laughed at Jonathan and his armor bearer when they stood out, but they weren't laughing at the end because he had won a great victory. They laughed at Noah when he stepped out saying, this guy is crazy. They laughed at Dasher when he stepped out and he went to, imagine, digging through a rock with a chisel and a hammer. Ridiculous. They laughed at him, but he won in the end. He dug the hole the whole way through. He created what he needed to do. What should you be doing if only you were brave enough? What are the things that we should be stepping out and doing? Who's the person we need to talk to? Who's the person that we need to encourage? What's the idea that we need to go for? I'm just going to finish off in a couple of minutes, but I've asked Carrie, she's going to play a song, No Longer Slaves. And I want to remind ourselves this morning, Carrie, if you want to come, we're going to sing this song, or she's going to play this song, and you can just worship and just feel the song minister to you. But simply the words are saying, no longer slaves to the world, no longer slaves to the things out there, no longer being ensnared and enslaved under fear and worries and stress, but to recognize that if we are in God, then we are free. We have been set free. And what courage do we need to have this morning? And what is the courage that we need to have in Jesus? What is the courage that we need to have to step out? Maybe we need courage to surrender to God. Maybe we need courage to just surrender our whole hearts and our whole lives. I remember thinking at one time, thinking, God, I really want to give you everything, but I'm afraid to give you everything because I don't want to lose control. I don't want to give up too much. I don't want to look silly for you, God. I don't want to look silly or wind up in a mess. And eventually, after a while, they say, God, I'm going to give you absolutely everything. It was the best decision ever because God will never disappoint. He will never let us down. Give him absolutely everything that you have. Courage to give up all your rights. Courage to give up everything. Courage to give up all your desires and all your plans. Hey, let's just pray for a moment just before Carrie plays. Lord, I pray that you would just give us courage this morning. Courage, Lord, to believe for incredible things, Lord. I pray, Lord, that our faith would not be hindered because of our lack of courage this morning. I pray, Lord, whatever trials and whatever obstacles that we have faced in the past, Lord, to recognize and to know that the Lord is saying this morning, be strong and be courageous. Lord, this morning, that you would just put something inside of us, Lord, that would give us the courage that we need. Lord, I pray that no longer do we have to look to ourselves for courage, but instead we would look to you. Lord, I pray this morning as we worship and we just listen to the words of this song, Lord, that you would do something deep in our hearts. Lord, if we simply need courage to come to you this morning and to follow after you this morning, will you help us in that, Lord? Lord, if we have given our lives to you, but we haven't given all to you, Lord, will you give us the courage to surrender everything to you, Lord? Everything from start to finish, from our time to our finances to our energy to absolutely everything. Lord, I pray this morning, whatever the biggest thing that we've been holding on to, could we have courage this morning to give it to you? And Lord, I pray as we would just worship and we would just listen to you, Lord, and listen to your voice this morning as we finish. Lord, what are the ideas and the dreams and the visions that you want to birth in our hearts? And then give us the courage and the bravery to step out and to go for them. Lord, we love you this morning and we worship you today in your precious name. Amen.